Omar Rabbi Zeiro, Rabbi Zeiro said, V'itemo Rabbi Chanina Bar Poppe. And some say that Rabbi Chanina Bar Poppe said that. Boy Ure'ei, come and see. Shaloi Kemidas HaKodesh Baruch Hu, that unlike the attitude of the Holy One, blessed be He, Midas Bosov Adam, are the attitudes and reactions of flesh and blood. Midas Bosov Adam, the human attitude is that Adam Moicher Chifetz Lachveri, when a person sells a valuable object to another, Moicher Otsev, the seller is usually sad because his circumstances forced him to part with the valuable object, Velokeach Sameach, and the buyer rejoices at obtaining this valuable object. Avol HaKadosh Baruch Hu Einoy Kein, but the Holy One, blessed be He, is not so. The Almighty does not take this attitude. Nosan Lehem Torah LeYisrael VeSameach. He gave the Torah to the Jewish people and rejoiced. Shenemar, as it is said in Proverbs chapter 4, Kilekach Tov Nosati Lochem, for I have given you a good study. Toirosi Al Tazovu, forsake not my Torah. In this Agada, Rabbi Zeira explains an apparent contradiction in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Kilekach Tov Nosati Lochem. Two words describing transaction are mentioned here, Lekach and Nosati. Lekach is derived from the word Mekach, meaning that which is acquired by way of sale. Nosati, on the other hand, means I have given, which usually refers to a gift rather than a sale. Rabbi Zeira's question is, how is it possible to refer to the Torah as both a gift and a sale on the part of Hashem at the same time? The answer Rabbi Zeira gives is that the distinction between an object given as a gift and one which is sold is that a giver has a moral, if not legal, right to advise and direct the use of the gift to a degree which may even effect considerable change in the purpose for which it was originally given. And the recipient, whether willingly or reluctantly, is disposed to accept this direction and change. While a person selling an object has neither the legal nor the moral right to interfere in any way with the buyer's use of the purchase. And the seller thus relinquishes any association with ownership of the object. When the Jewish people were chosen to be the recipients of the Torah, it was given to them as a gift. For what do mortals possess to offer in exchange? Since it is a gift, it should follow that the giver has a right to change, alter, or at least add to the content of the gift. The Torah, however, was such a complete and final gift to the Jewish people that no prophet or group of prophets, not even Moshe Rabbeinu himself, has the power to add, to detract, to change or modify in any manner whatsoever, even one single letter of the Torah. Once the Torah was given to the Jewish nation, it is immutable, and there is no power on earth or in heaven which can change it in any way. Thus, the Torah was in fact Nosati Lochem, a gift given to the Jewish nation by Hashem. But it was given in the manner of Lekach, a sale, a final sale, never to be changed or altered. The sadness usually accompanying the sale of a personal possession is a result of relinquishing ownership. In giving the Torah, the Ribbono Shel Olam yielded, as it were, ownership of the Torah with the greatest degree of finality possible. Yet we find that the Jewish people are constantly encouraged and urged by Hashem not to forsake the Torah, but to cling as strongly as possible to their possession of it. Herein, says Rav Zeira, lies the distinction between the ways of Hashem and the reaction of flesh and blood. Flesh and blood is overtaken by sadness when he relinquishes ownership of a valuable object, while Hashem rejoices when relinquishing, as it were, ownership of the Torah. Omar Rav Rava said, V'itemo Rav Chizde, and some say Rav Chizde said, Imroya Odom, if a man sees She Yisurin Boyin Olav, that sufferings are inflicted upon him, Yefash Feiz B'Masov, he should examine his actions to determine his possible wrongdoing, which may be the cause of his suffering. Shenema, as it is said in Lamentations chapter 3, Nach besodrochenu, let us search our ways, and if this search is not fruitful, Veinach koro, let us examine them thoroughly, Veinoshuva el Hashem, and as a result of this examination, we will correct our wrongdoings and return to the Almighty. Pishpesh v'leimotzo, if he examined his behavior and found no apparent cause for his punishment, yitle bevitul teilo, let him attribute it to neglect of the study of Torah. And we see that failure to study Torah results in suffering, shenemar, as it is said in Psalm 94, Ashrei ha-geve ashet yasrenu ko, fortunate is the man whom you, Hashem, punish, the sole purpose of which is umiteroscho salamdenu, that from your Torah you will teach him. In other words, man is sometimes punished in order that he realize his obligation to devote himself to the study of Torah. Tolo, if he did attribute it to the possible neglect of Torah study, v'leimotzo, but upon examination, he found that he was not guilty of failure to study Torah properly, to what cause may he attribute his pain? Be yodua, the obvious conclusion then is that his suffering is not the result of anger on the part of the Almighty, inflicted upon him as punishment for his transgressions, but rather that Yishurin shall avoin, his suffering is an expression of love. And we see from the pasuk in Proverbs chapter 3, Shenema, that there are exceptional cases where pain is inflicted as an expression of divine love. Shenema, as it is said, Ki es asher yeav Hashem, for the one whom Hashem loves, Yochiach, he may inflict sufferings upon him. Rava has thus analyzed human suffering and attributed it to three main causes. First, as a punishment and a call to repentance for failure to live in accordance with the principles and precepts of the Torah. Second, to make the individual aware of his neglect of Torah study. And third, as an expression of divine love. We may ask, though, why was neglect of Torah study singled out as a separate cause of suffering? Is it not already included in the first category, that of failure to live in accordance with the Torah's precepts? We know that the study of Torah is one of the foremost obligations incumbent upon every Jewish person. In fact, our sages tell us that when the individual is called upon to give an account of his life before the Almighty, the very first question put to him is, Osakto betoro, hast thou dealt with Torah? Since suffering is an indication of the need for repentance and rectifying of one's misdeeds, certainly failure to study Torah should not be overlooked by the person examining his actions. And if we were to say that because of its paramount importance, Torah learning is in a category by itself, then it should be the very first of the person's actions to be looked into. For as we say each morning in davening, V'salmud Torah keneged kulam, the mitzvah of learning Torah transcends and takes precedence over all other mitzvahs. Why then does Rava consider Bittul Torah as the second possibility and not as the first? In answer to this question, the Vilna Gaon Zecheinu Livracha said that in order for a person to determine whether or not his actions and behavior are in accordance with the Torah, he must first have an adequate knowledge of what is right and what is wrong, what the Torah requires and what the Torah prohibits. A person whose knowledge of Torah is deficient, who is not aware of the obligations placed upon him by the Torah, lacks the qualifications to discover whether or not he fulfills those obligations. For instance, how can a person determine whether or not he observes the Shabbos properly if he is not familiar with the many details of Shabbos observance required by the law? How can a person observe kashrus if he is not sufficiently versed in the laws of kashrus? In general, how can a person know that what he does is proper if he lacks the knowledge of what is proper? This, then, is the meaning of Rava's advice, Yitle Bebitul Torah. His suffering may belong to the first category, which is general wrongdoing. But the reason he cannot pinpoint his wrongdoing is because of neglect of Torah learning. Supplementing this explanation, we may add that it is possible for a person to study Torah and utilize every available moment of his time to learn Torah, and yet, at the same time, be guilty of gross neglect in fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. For the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is like the mitzvah of tzedakah, like the mitzvah of charity, depending on the ability of the individual. Just as in charity, one may give a minimal amount and yet fulfill his obligation, if this small donation represents the utmost of his ability to give, while another may donate huge and fabulous sums, yet fail to fulfill the minimum which the law obligates him according to his means. So too, in the study of Torah, the quality and quantity of Torah learning required of the individual depend on the person's ability. One may study 5 lines and barely be aware of the meaning of the words, yet if that is the maximum of his ability, he has fulfilled the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. While another may study the Torah day and night, but if the quality of his learning, his ability to comprehend, if his learning is superficial when he is capable of delving into the depths of the Torah, he is indeed guilty of failure to study Torah. We note that Rava's advice was intended for every person, not necessarily a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar. For Rava does not say, if a scholar sees, but rather, im odom reye, if any person sees that he is inflicted with suffering, he should attribute it to neglect of Torah study. One may wonder how an ordinary person who was denied the opportunity of learning Torah and thus never acquired this ability, how can such a person be charged with responsibility for neglect of study to the extent that he is punished by suffering? The answer to this question may be found in the very definition of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The obligation of Talmud Torah is not merely one of personal Torah study, but of maintaining a high standard of Torah learning, which must prevail at all times in Jewish life. This is the most sacred obligation of a Jewish person, and each Jew must do everything in his power to assure that this high standard of learning is maintained. For Judaism, in the final analysis, has but one definition: Torah. Torah study, Torah knowledge, Torah observance. Every Jewish person must utilize his God-given blessings for that purpose. The scholar, by teaching Torah to others, the layman, by establishing institutions of Torah, so that at least others, if not he himself, may learn. Any contribution one makes to the maintenance of Torah is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, while failure to do so renders the individual guilty of neglect of Talmud Torah. Thus, every person may attribute his suffering to Bittul Torah. The following illustration will suffice. If a person is blessed with a bright and capable child, but rather than sending this child to a yeshiva, where he could develop into a great Talmud Chacham, adding his link to the eternal chain of Torah, the parents deny their child this opportunity and neglect his Torah training. These parents are guilty of Bittul Torah. If a person is blessed financially and is in a position to build a yeshiva, maintain a yeshiva, or help alleviate the material burden of a yeshiva, and fails to do so, that person is guilty of Bittul Torah. Finally, honoring Torah and upholding the prestige of Torah scholars is a prerequisite for maintaining a high standard of learning. Should a person fail to give the proper recognition due to a Talmud Chacham, or should one show disrespect for a Talmud Chacham, he too is guilty of Bittul Torah. Thus, every person is capable of fulfilling Talmud Torah, and by the same token, he must carefully examine his actions to ascertain his innocence of his personal and particular Bittul Torah. Omar Rove, Omar Rav Schaire, Omar Rav Hune. Rove said in the name of Rav Schaire, quoting Rav Hune, Kol Shah Kodesh Baruch Hu Chofetz Bei, whosoever is desired by Hashem, Midakoi Beyisurin, Hashem may shatter him with suffering to awaken him. Shenema, as it is said in Shayohu, chapter 53, Var Hashem Chofetz Dakoi, and Hashem wants to shatter him, Hecheli, therefore, he causes painful sickness. Yochol afilo lo kiblo me'avo. We might think that even if the sufferer did not accept his pain graciously, still his suffering has accomplished its purpose. Talmud Lema, to dispel such misinterpretation, the posuk in Yeshayahu continues, Im tosim osham nafshe. If his soul, analyzing the suffering, considers itself as being offered for an osham, a sacrifice brought to the Beis HaMikdash to atone for sin. What is the meaning of the persons comparing his suffering to the osham sacrifice? Mo osham ladas, just as an osham, since its purpose is to atone for sin, must be offered by the individual with an awareness of the wrongdoing he committed. Af yisurin ladas, so too, suffering must be understood and accepted with a proper perspective. Vim kiblom olav me'avo maschorei, and if the sufferer does accept them graciously, what is his reward? The pasuk continues, Yir ezera, he will always see his descendants, Yarich yomim, though he lives long, which means that he will be rewarded with a long life, one which will not be marred by the grief which may befall a parent who lives to an exceptionally old age, but rather, all his children will survive him. Veloyot, nor is that all, Erosh HaTalmudim Mishkayim Biyodeh, but in addition, he is also rewarded that his acquired knowledge of the Torah will always remain with him. Shenema, as the Pasuk says in conclusion, Vechefetz Hashem, the Torah, the expression of Hashem's will, Biyodeh, which is in the person's hand, meaning the Torah knowledge he has acquired, Yitzlach, will prosper, remaining with him permanently. In this passage, together with the preceding one, Rava explains the purpose of human suffering. Nothing in life is accidental. Certainly human suffering is not the result of mere chance, but is decreed by Hashem and is intended for a distinct purpose. While we understand that the purpose of suffering, which was brought about by wrongdoing, is to make the individual aware of the error of his ways and lead him to repentance, we may inquire in what way is divine love expressed by inflicting pain on a person. Why should a person who is desired by Hashem be shattered with suffering? The answer is that a person blessed by Hashem with fulfillment of his material desires may sometimes lose his perspective and misuse the blessing showered upon him. Rather than utilizing the opportunities which these blessings afford him to further the cause which merited his receiving the blessing in the first place, he becomes preoccupied and involved with the blessing itself and loses sight of its intended purpose. The infliction of suffering on such a person has a sobering effect. It restores his proper perspective and enables him to develop his full potentialities for spiritual achievement. Since a person is never divinely coerced to do good or bad, since every individual is free to choose between right and wrong, nothing can be done, so to say, on the part of the Almighty to make the person aware of the error of his ways. Ordinarily, such a person would drown in his good fortune. But if it is a person whom Hashem desires, the only solution is for the person to be shattered with suffering. A person about to undergo an operation, a man or woman who is very seriously ill, views the world and his place in it differently than before. Matters which appeared all important fade suddenly into insignificance, while thoughts which never crossed his mind when he was healthy become of paramount importance. For such a person, suffering is an elevating and purifying experience. He is able to do what cannot be done for him. He regains his sense of values and becomes aware of the meaning and purpose of life. Since this realization must come from within the person, the suffering can only be meaningful if it is accepted properly. The one who does no more than complain of his pain, who protests bitterly the injustice which was done to him, and who does not pause to consider the reasons for his pain, is a person who has indeed suffered in vain. As Rava says, just as a sacrifice offered to atone for sin accomplishes its purpose only if the person is aware of his wrongdoing and is determined to improve, so too suffering must be understood and accepted with the proper perspective. And if his suffering is accepted graciously, causing him to change his actions and accomplish what he is capable of doing, then he will truly deserve and enjoy the reward of long life, surrounded by his family, always in full possession of his acquired Torah knowledge.